The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. This is Representative Frank Tomaszewski filling in for our amazing host, David Perez. And we are at 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and at KFAR.com. In the studio today, I will have two guests, but my first guest today is Adam Crum, running for governor. And my second guest will be Shelley Hughes, coming in later on in the program. But today, this morning, right now, we've got Adam Crum in the studio. And I'm just thankful that you're come to Fairbanks and talk with us. And I know you got some other things happening the next couple days here in Fairbanks. So just introduce yourself to Fairbanks and why you run for governor.
Right on. Thank you. No, it's a pleasure to be here. It's good to be back in Fairbanks. It definitely is a little bit more of an advanced season than we're having down in Wasilla. So I got here, had time before the show, so I went for a walk, and I did not bring my gloves. And so I made a stop in at Big Ray's. I had to buy a pair of gloves and then to go over to McCafferty's for some coffee. So it's nice to actually come up here and see some Fairbanks businesses. But again, so my name's Adam Crum. So I'm born and raised in Alaska. I grew up in Anchor Point. So I was born in Homer, went to Homer High School. My dad actually was born in the territory of Alaska. His father was stationed here in the Army. He was born on the hospital at Fort Richardson. And we were just telling the story right before we got on that he was actually a haul road trucker, and he actually was delivering loads and actually bringing material up on the North Slope. And tomorrow we've got the 50th anniversary of the Yukon River Bridge, and he was one of the first drivers to bring bulk cement across the ice on that. And so it's pretty cool to actually see these things that we used to build in Alaska. So, you know, for myself, I'm an Alaskan kid. I'm born and raised. I went to school out of state. I had the opportunity to go play football in the Big Ten. So I went to Northwestern University, where I was an offensive lineman, able to start for 2 years. It was a lot of fun because you got to play at the stadiums of Michigan and Ohio State. And you got to play on TV and play in a couple bowl games. But I couldn't wait to actually get back to Alaska. You spend any time at all in the Midwest, it is far too flat. But you come back and you see the mountains of Alaska and just the sheer vastness and beauty. I was ready to come home.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's so much beauty in Alaska, and really, you know, I've heard so many people tell me the story, like, I'm getting out of here. They grew up and went to school here, and they're getting out of here, and then they realize what an amazing place Alaska is, and they get back on the plane or drive right back up and do it all over again.
Yeah, that's so true. So I had that was true with me. It was true with my wife, who I met out of state at a wedding, and she was an electrical engineer in Silicon Valley. And when we got married and she moved to Alaska, her first thing was like, "Oh, I'll be in Alaska for a year." Then after a year, it's like, "Okay, five." And then after that, she's like, "Alaska's home," and you just get stuck on it. You know, there's this true saying, right, that living here makes you unfit to live anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up here myself, and I've been around the world here and there, and Alaska is definitely home and will always be home for me. So, so you grew up, where did you grow up exactly?
So it was down in Anchor Point. So that's on the Kenai Peninsula, just outside of Homer. We joke that Anchor Point is a village on the road system, because it's about 1,200 people, and that was the time when we were allowed. Parents kicked us out, said go outside. Dad had got hurt in the 80s, and so we had to sell a house in Homer, and we moved to a two-bedroom dry cabin in Anchor Point. And I know a lot of people in Fairbanks know what it's like to live in a dry cabin. So we collected our water from the spring. We'd do Navy showers. Mom would actually heat up water on the stove, put it in a pitcher, dump it over our head. We'd soap, and then she'd dump us down again and rinse us. And that's what life was like in a dry cabin. But we got a bunch of brothers and a sister. Boys were just told, you go outside, spend your time outside. So we would just leave and free-range children, basically. Go down to the school, play basketball, just come back before dark, which in Alaska is a very long time.
Yeah, my mom only made that mistake saying come back before dark one time. I came back in September. No, just kidding. But yeah, a great place to grow up. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been to Anchor Point itself. Might be off the road system there, or on the road system, but maybe have to take a turn that I haven't gone.
If you've driven to Homer and you blink, you'll drive through Anchor Point.
Okay, yep, then I have been through Anchor Point.
Yeah.
That's good. So a lot of fishing and down there.
Fishing was incredible growing up. It was famous for its king salmon and its steelhead. Since the early 2000s, though, there was massive flooding on the southern Kenai Peninsula, and actually so severe it actually washed out the highway bridges at Nanilchik and Deep Creek, and it really took away a lot of the spawning grounds for the king salmon. So it's never really rebounded, and the area's been hit pretty hard. But it's such a beautiful place. It was fun to grow up. And then when I came back from college, it was my parents had started Northern Industrial Training in Palmer. So that's the largest post-secondary training school in the state, mainly known for truck driving and welding. And when I came back, I actually started up and ran what's called our corporate services side. So we had contracts with Exxon and Shell and Alyeska, and we were doing a lot of work there and project planning, things like that. And it was a ton of fun, because what I started off early on in my career was actually doing chemical training. So I have a science background. I was pre-med in college, and I came back. I'd taken the MCAT. I was getting ready to go to med school, and I met my wife, as we said. On our second date, she says, I'm not going to wait 10 years for you. So I was like, oh, I can't go to med school. I got to change my plan. So she was the one. And so I changed it and went to Johns Hopkins, got my master's in public health. And I used that in my career as we were kind of delivering these kind of chemical safety classes. And then it moved into project planning and things like this with these large oil projects. But with that, though, I got to travel all over the state. So I got to go over Western Alaska, all across the Arctic. I have spent weeks at a time in Kaktovik, in Point Hope, in Point Lay, in Barrow and Nuiqsut, and got to see all these places all around Alaska. And it was just pretty cool, because you can see the diversity of the state and just how big we are. It's hard to actually get other people in the lower 48 to understand just how vast Alaska is and how far everything is. And they always laugh, say, like, how far away is that? Because we use distance, we use hours because of road quality and or weather quality. And they always say, like, why do you say how long it takes to get somewhere? I said, because that's the most important factor. It doesn't matter, maybe it's not on the road system. Maybe it's actually a paved road. Maybe it's a dirt road. You don't know. That definitely changes the equation on how long it takes to get there.
And maybe it's only a winter trail.
Yeah.
I've been down a few of those as well. So Northern Training, it's still going today? And where do you get a lot of the students that come up to that?
Yeah, it's in its 22nd or 23rd year. Still going. So, yeah, I own that with my siblings. We actually purchased it from our parents like 12 years ago. And it's a fantastic program, but students come from all over. We actually have a lot of folks coming from the village, from Southeast Alaska, even the interior. A lot of transitioning service members that are leaving the military who want to actually pick up a skills trade, because GI Bill can work there. We do a lot with the Skills Bridge program as well. So it was very fulfilling, just kind of working to put people into really well-paying jobs. These are the jobs that build Alaska. You're getting your skilled hands, the necessary things. We have to move our goods up and down a road system. That comes by truck. And if you want to have something built, that comes from a skilled trade. You have to be able to swing a hammer. You have to be able to lay a bead. These are the things that actually build Alaska. And it was actually just very fulfilling to spend an entire career actually working around and growing folks like that.
So, yeah, that's terrific. I know there's some villages and, outskirts in rural Alaska, it's really hard to find a good paying job, let alone training for a good paying job. So that's amazing that we have that kind of industry there in Wasilla area. That's fantastic. So what other private sector stuff do you do
besides that? So, you know, from that, so, again, owner of that, we also own a construction company that actually specializes. It built a couple hotels. It's done a lot in Western Alaska. And it's just nice to have that because you get a touch, and not only you can take that skill set, you can bring it out into like remote areas and actually hire and train people to actually put them to work in your own company. So that's been pretty great. That's one thing being a business owner. When you sign the front of a paycheck, it definitely changes you because you've absolutely, anybody who's an entrepreneur knows this by heart, that you sign the front of a paycheck, you are making a commitment to that employee and to their family, that they're going to be paid. And you'll, as an owner, have go without paychecks. You'll do lines of credit or put up collateral in order to make payroll. That is just the way it goes. And those are lessons that you never, ever lose. You never forget those because they're very hard won. It teaches you, though, the beauty that, you know what, you have to hustle. You have to work with all people. And if you have to sing for your supper, it really does change your ability, like who you're going to engage with and why. And how do you bring these things forward? And that's the benefits of just being an entrepreneurial spirit really just ring true, and it's so many skill sets.
So we're going to take our first break here, Adam. I'm here with Governor candidate Adam Crum. This is Frank Tomaszewski, and we're going to be right back after a few minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Civility. It's been missing for too long. I'm Patrick Roach, and I'm running for Borough Assembly to focus on what really matters: our schools, affordable housing, thriving business, and quality parks and facilities. Enough with the bickering. We can do this. Vote Patrick Roach for Borough Assembly. Thank you.
Paid for by Patrick Roach for Assembly. P.O. Box 81745, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99708.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
After selling out last trip, Emmy Award-winning comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is returning to Fairbanks. Catch him live Wednesday, October 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday the 2nd at the Spur, with a venue change Friday and Saturday night, the 3rd and 4th, for two intimate shows at the historic Palace Theater and Saloon in Pioneer Park. Tickets at alaskacomedy.com. Brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie Station and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Don't miss Fitz.
KFAR weather.
Chance of rain today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 44. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Rain likely, lows level off around 33. About an inch of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. This is Representative Frank Tomaszewski hosting today, and with me in the studio, I have Adam Crum for governor. Adam, I know you have a website. I think it's adamcrum.com. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
If you, if the listeners want to look him up and see what he's talking about. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about construction experience. You have a construction company, and I think we're talking about feast and famine. And as an electrician myself, and spending many years in the trades, you know, it is. It is definitely feast and famine. So sometimes there's a lot of work, and sometimes there's not, and you really have to prepare and be prepared for what's coming for the local economy and for your family and everything. But we're going to transition a little out of that, and I know you've worked for the state. Your time working in government, how was that? How did that transpire? And what do you think about it?
Yeah, in 2017, when Governor Dunleavy was campaigning, he ventured the idea about thinking about me actually running the Department of Health because I have a master's in public health. So I thought about it, and I actually threw my name in the ring, and I applied for it. And when the staff said, you know, which role do you want? I said, I'd like to take health. And they said, why? And I said, because that's the area of greatest need. It's the largest department by position count and by budget, and required the most help to go in there and actually bring that in. And with my background working on mega projects of helping with Point Thompson, it was these large things and organizational development, was to come in and actually just see how you could help out, to actually figure out what is the best organizational setup. So it was crazy times, because we got that, and within 30 days we had a letter from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services said that Alaska Psychiatric Institute, API, was so bad from the prior administration that it was going to lose its licensure. You have to take drastic measures. And so I'm newly on the job, and so I actually had to reach out, and I brought in a private management company to come in to run API to keep the same staff. But I had unions sue me, and we went through this whole rigmarole, but it was bringing in the management there for the C-suite, which was never steady, to actually just steady that, to take care of this vulnerable population. And this facility that really is a key linchpin for all areas of the state. A lot of people from interior will actually have to go down there for treatment. It was a key thing. And then as we rolled on with health, it was, COVID hit. The great ugly C word. When COVID hit, that was just kind of crazy times for the state in order to have to do that, because with centralized public health, it all fell under us, because public health is underneath me, along with Medicaid and all the other things. And so we worked our tail off at the state level to make sure that we were taking care of those items, that we were trying to make sure the vulnerable populations were taken care of, and that we're protecting the private sector as much as possible. And it was kind of progressed on. You know, we were helping our guides and our fishing and our tourist industry to make sure we had people coming into the state, our fish processing, as well as making sure that we had agreements set up for cruise ships to be able to come in 2021. So that was a lot of work and effort. And then at the end of that run, in 2022, I was able to get the governor put forward an executive order to split the department. So I finally got to do the one thing that I really wanted to do when I came into the job, and to break up this giant behemoth of a department into two functional things, to where it's actually manageable from a span of control standpoint to actually look at and find the problems. Because it got so big, it's really easy to obfuscate where the problem areas are. Because if you've got five fires burning at any one time, you can only fight three of them, that still means you got something on fire. That's not good. That's not good enough for the people. It means you're not serving everybody, and it also means there's probably waste. And so we were able to split that and get that through. And then I was Governor Dunleavy ran for run by landslide and re-election. And he had conversation like, you know, Department of Revenue is open. Would you like to come over there? So I stepped into the revenue role, and I have been able to see every dime that comes into the state from every revenue standpoint, sit on all of the investment boards and all the development boards for the state, as well as doing public finance, doing bonds and tender and forward delivery, and working with the credit rating agencies and investors. It's been a tremendous experience.
Yeah, those are both really important jobs. And so the Department of Health and Social Services got broken into two. And what were those two?
It became the Department of Health and then the Department of Family and Community Services.
And, as you've been in state government for this amount of time and seen the transition of those two departments, do you think they're working out well the way they're going now?
I do. I actually think it absolutely has. Not only that, I've talked to key stakeholders, people that are like, not even necessarily employees, people that sit on boards that advise. As an example, the Pioneer Home Advisory Board, a bunch of volunteers from around the state, have been very vocal in the fact that they now get time and attention from leadership at the department, and they're able to actually make big changes. One of which, you know, is actually has to do with either remodeling or actually building a new Pioneer Home here in Fairbanks, which is a kind of a key aspect of life here in Alaska.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the Pioneer Home definitely needs attention. We've been needing some renovations or replacing it for a long time, because I think there's several around the state that are actually kind of were all built in that same time period, and so they're all running into those same types of end of use, end of life of a building. Going through COVID though, I mean, you got thrown right into the fire. Any lessons learned from COVID and, you know, the way everything played out?
Fantastic question. Absolutely. You know, early on with COVID, it was very at the forefront of our minds, the what happened in Alaska in 1918. We had oral stories of Alaska Native villages that had 50% mortality rates due to the Spanish flu. And you heard this similar thing about COVID. We had early projections that said 150,000 Alaskans were going to die. And we used this information. We tried to make early decisions. But as soon as we saw that our system, our health systems were not going to be overrun, we wanted to make it open as much as possible. We did not do state vaccine mandates, no mask mandates. And we told people, just go outside. Go enjoy that. And then we even encouraged people to come up to Alaska and enjoy our vast space and beauty. And I would say the greatest lesson learned throughout all of that, though, and I hope everybody in public health recognizes this, is that you cannot replace the private sector. That daring to shut down businesses for even a day is going to be detrimental. The CARES Relief Fund, the IRA bill, the IJA bill, these are all things that were designed by the federal government to try and replace what was lost in the private sector, and all it did was create rampant inflation. You cannot print enough money to replace everything that the private sector does. So going forward, if there's ever any other pandemic again, you identify who's the at-risk population, give them the support they need, but life as normal has to go on for everybody else. Not to mention all the detrimental effects of schools being closed, which at the state level, mind you, we kind of get conflated with what local school districts did. We actually encourage people to open up that fall of 2020. And gave them pathways to do that, but made sure it was a local decision. You know, I'm a small government conservative and believe it should be at the local side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, local control is a good thing. And there was a lot of mistakes, I think, all around the country. And, you know, everybody, it's good that hindsight is 2020 and we're able to correct and learn from our what we've done and mistakes made, and also learn from the good things that happened. And definitely private sector is a, you know, something that we really need to support in this state. It grows our state. It helps our families. It does everything like that. So going from that, you know, so you moved into as the revenue commissioner, the Department of Revenue. What does the Department of Revenue commissioner do? We've got people listening and they might think, but they don't know. So yeah. Give us the cliff notes on that.
Revenue Commissioner is unique in Alaska. Most other states will have treasurers and auditors and separate roles or people who run tax. In Alaska, it's both in charge of collecting the tax and leading the investment for the state. So tax and treasury are underneath it, as well as child support services and the Permanent Fund Dividend Division, the actual group that cuts the check that goes out tomorrow is when the dividend comes out. Revenue doesn't set it. They just cut the check and run the eligibility. But it's one of the groups. The most important function of revenue is actually doing the revenue sources book. This is the actual document that provides the projected revenues through the coming year so the governor can do his constitutionally mandated budget release December 15th. And that is, they do that, and then we sit down, and early in session, you being on the Finance Committee, I've sat before you many times, we go through what are our balances of our state investment accounts, every dollar in the state, where that's at, so the legislature understands how much money we currently have and how much do we look to have. And that's what the important role of revenue is.
Yeah, you get those forecasts. It's like, well, we're going to base our budget on the forecast, and sometimes they pan out and sometimes they don't.
The crazy thing is 60% of our state revenue is dependent upon investment revenue, which is fantastic. We get this. It's the earnings off the permanent fund that they make. But the flip side is 30% comes from oil and gas production tax or royalties. And those things are a sine wave. And those prices are dependent upon global events. And you may as well just lick your finger and put it up in the air and see which way the wind blows, and you'll have as good of a guess as we do as to what is going to happen with the oil futures market. And that's one of the big detriments that we have.
Okay, well, we're gonna take a break here with Adam Crum for governor, and we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
I'm John Saucier. The U.S. is now in a government shutdown after congressional leaders failed to agree on a bill before last night's funding deadline. Vice President J.D. Vance blaming the shutdown on congressional Democrats.
Nearly every single Senate Republican voted to open the government last night, and even to their credit, a few moderate Democrats voted to open the government. That's not a Republican shutdown when nearly every single Senate Democrat votes to shut it down and every Republican voted to open it up.
A vote in the Senate to end the shutdown failed earlier today. Democrats pushing for an extension of Affordable Care Act subsidies as part of a plan to reopen the government. Israel's defense minister ordering all remaining Palestinians to leave Gaza City says it's their last opportunity, as Israel's defense ministry says anyone who stays will be considered a militant supporter and face the full force of its latest offensive. This week, President Trump offered a plan on how to end the war in Gaza, is waiting on a response from Hamas. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports payouts for the permanent fund dividend are scheduled to start landing in Alaskans' bank accounts this week for $1,000, about $700 less than last year's total. While debate continues around what the most appropriate dollar amount the PFD should be set at, no matter the amount, every Alaskan has a plan for how to spend it. But as Alaskans across the state are ready and waiting for those first disbursements to land in bank accounts starting on Thursday, state leaders are warning that would-be scammers are ready and waiting as well to ensure the bank account those funds are landing in aren't your own. I can say that in the last year or so, we have seen a significant increase just in the number of people that are trying to commit identity theft to use against the PFD, said Scott Stair, investigations manager for the Alaska Department of Revenue. What we advise people to do is ask questions. If you're not absolutely sure of who you're speaking with, make sure that you can reach back out to the organization and reach out to them directly. Watch for email scams and also text message scams as well.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hello, folks. I'm JT McComas Rowe, and I'm running to represent you on your borough assembly. Now, you may think that taxes aren't on the ballot in this election, but don't be fooled. Who you vote for on October 7th will absolutely impact how deep the borough gets its hands into your pocket. You work hard for your money, and you should have a say in how your money gets spent. So vote JT McComas Rowe on October 7th.
Paid for by McComas Rowe for Assembly, POB 72789, Fairbanks.
It's officially fall and time again for the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, featuring many of Fairbanks' favorite boutiques and shops. Audrey's Women's Wear, Roaming Root Cellar, Lycan, In My Element, Terry's Vintage Boutique, The Peony Patch Uprooted, and Northern Sparrow Boutique, each with their own sales, specials, and more. So grab your crew and hit the streets. Make sure to grab your passport from any location, get it stamped at each, and then turn it in at your final stop for your chance to win $500 in cash. Plus additional prizes. It's the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, and going all day long, giving you plenty of time to hit them all and fill that passport for your chance to win big. So we'll see you Saturday, October 11th, for the third annual radio station Tour of Boutiques. Oh, hey, that looks really good on you.
Comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one. Using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. This is Representative Frank Tomaszewski with Adam Crum in the studio, and we are going to take a phone call. Hello, Hey. This is Frank Tomaszewski. Who's on the phone?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, this is Thomas Kennedy.
Thomas Kennedy, hey, welcome, and thanks for calling. You got a question for the for Adam Crum?
Yeah, in your pursuit of pursuing the office of governor, there's two big, huge issues that I think need to be looked at. Issue number one is the excessive spending in infrastructures that are redundant. And what I'm talking about is there are like 53 or 54 school districts in the state, and there's 53 or 54 curriculum departments. And the state could just establish one curriculum department and have one person in each school district in curriculum and not have all the massive curriculum departments that they have and cut millions of dollars in spending.
Is there a question for you?
That's a fantastic suggestion. I would agree. Like, we have way too much redundancy. We don't need to have these massive structures for these small populations. We have to find some economy of scale here. And so trying to figure out, like, you know, Anchorage and Matsu and Fairbanks having their own school districts makes sense. But having individual school districts to cover every little individual area, that does not. We have to find a way to actually honor and figure out what the locals want, but also find some scale to where we've got superintendents and curriculum that is a little bit more combined and a little bit more uniform.
Number two, and this is just as a political theme, I think the biggest issue is, you know, spending in the permanent fund is a big issue. The gas line is a huge issue for the future of Alaska, but I think a huge issue that is going to be like the issue that drives, Republicans and everybody kind of to follow what we kind of want is we need to make a mission plan for natural resource management for the state. And we need to make the mission plan, you know, for the best interest of people in the state. You know, the reduction in caribou herds, and I mean, it was a successful moose season for a lot of folks, but we have a state that has a population that's driven into smaller and smaller areas for resource use. And we have issues like, the trawlers taking a lot of the fish. You mentioned about the king salmon and the steelhead fisheries disappearing. We need to make an action plan that follows the Alaska State Constitution and really look at how we can maximize yield, sustainable yield, for all of our resources so we don't lose hunting, we don't lose fishing, we stay close to the land, we don't lose kids that are leaving Alaska to other places because there's better hunting and fishing in other places. So that has to be like our mission, you know, vision of that being the top most important issue, because that's going to pull the standard person out to look at what we want.
I would agree. You know, in order to keep people here, we have to have an economic opportunity. You have to have a chance for good jobs. You have to have cheap energy and affordable housing. But you also want to have a quality of life. And the quality of life in Alaska has absolutely changed. You know, there's a lot of issues. You know, we talk about the trawlers. There also has to be issues with hatcheries. And are we actually over-ranching the North Pacific? Those are questions that we really have to address and have honest conversations on. Because these are things that really, you know, getting salmon is a very unique Alaska thing. And I'd say as far as our resource development goes, doing this for over 60 years in the state of Alaska in a responsible way is pretty incredible. You know, Swanson River gas in 1957 was how we became a state. But now when we see, like, even the North Slope borough, it's a fantastic story because their entire their life expectancy doubled when oil was actually starting being produced, because they're able to actually have their entire population. They still live a subsistence lifestyle. They actually go after the bowhead whale, the bearded seals, and the caribou herds, and they're able to do this. And it shows that you can actually have resource development working in concert with actual subsistence outdoor lifestyles. And this is something that I think we can take that lesson to other areas of the state and actually modify our management plan. And I really, this kind of leads right into my goal of running for governor is actually this large-scale economic development. We have got to find this rising tide raises all boats. This is not one area of the state that needs to win. The entire state needs to win. We have to look at both infrastructure projects that actually work in all areas of the state. This is a combination of transmission lines and highways, roads to resources. I was able to sit on the board of ADA, and one of the last votes we did was actually be a vote to actually push the West Sioux Road to actually move forward to get in the Fast 41, President Trump's expedited permitting plan, in order to go out there to access those minerals. Same thing with Ambler Road, as we identify how do we develop these resources and do it in a responsible way, but also create this, over time, this energy in Alaska, this positive mindset. Because we've had 10 years of a flat decade. We've had poor population growth. We've had out-migration. Our birth rate's the only thing saving us, but we need to actually make sure we're giving families a chance to stay here and attracting people to come up to Alaska with a high quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Thomas, for that those two great questions. And really, you know, there are a lot of growth opportunities in the state. But you are in Fairbanks today. So, you know, my question to you is, what role do you see Fairbanks playing in Alaska's future?
You know, it was really poignant for me. So being born in Homer, growing up in Anchor Point, we're always really proud of Bradley Lake. Bradley Lake's a fantastic infrastructure project down there, great, beautiful hydro plant. But Bradley Lake has really cheap energy cost. Golden Valley, it went quiet. Golden Valley actually still purchases that. But that power can actually come from there all the way up. And by the time it gets to Golden Valley, you guys are actually paying double and triple what it comes for the Kenai Peninsula, even the Mat-Su, due to wheeling rates, as well as line loss. And so being at the end of the line hurts you. And we don't have redundancy in Alaska and our transmission lines. I am a huge proponent of actually continuing what this project we got from the Department of Energy is going to make it a high-voltage direct current line from Nikiski to Beluga. The second part of that, we didn't get the federal grant, but there's financing tools available, one of which I tried to move forward this last year in the legislature, and I'm going to push this again, and I'll talk to you offline about this, Representative. But there are tools in order to actually do this, to where we can build that infrastructure line, to where we can move electrons faster and cheaper north to south, and it actually makes it so the Fairbanks area is actually getting access to energy, and new energy projects that can come online will actually be able to move and be have somewhere to go.
Commissioner, I just wrote a resolution that asked for three things. With a gas line looking like it's going to be built, I asked for, one, the line that we have coming from there to Fairbanks, the spur line, the cost of that be blended into the main line. Two, that all in-state gas use was without royalty or tariff. And three, there is no lease fee on any acquisition or land cost to get the spur line over to Fairbanks. What do you feel about those three issues?
I think it's actually critical for Fairbanks. You guys can't actually have another project bypass you. It's a population of, we got about 100,000 people up here that I do believe is critical. The people who love the interior of Alaska love the interior of Alaska. It's Fairbanks is an area of people that you are absolutely passionate about the place that you live. So a couple of those things you mentioned do require legislative action, and it's to get them to understand what that looks like. As far as other tools available to that, there are some public financing mechanisms that are available to actually help with that spur line if necessary. But I've been thinking about how do we actually help develop this and create this opportunity for this power generation. Because one thing that is that the beauty of the gas line in any sort of large-scale power project is we finally have scale. And what I mean by that is AI data centers are a game changer for the state of Alaska. Forever, our projects were going to be too big in order, we can't use this. We don't have the population base. But the problem is, Susitna-Wautauna Dam was too big. We couldn't buy the power. AI data centers can come buy the power. I want to tap into this knowledge economy to where they come buy large bits of excess power or even power generated. It drives down the cost for the consumer. And these are things that we can do. And I really want to make sure that Alaskans understand there is opportunity. There's positivity on the future. And I want to make a free and prosperous Alaska. That's why I'm running.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. I know you have another commitment coming up, and we're going to take our last commercial break for the program, and I will be back with Senator Shelley Hughes in the next segment. Thank you,
Greg. More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks. Brett Roderman here, candidate for Borough Assembly. Once upon a time, in the land of make-believe, I was running unopposed. Back in Realityville, today we have a write-in candidate. I just want to remind you, a governing body that is run on only one philosophy, one opinion, one ideology, does its citizens no good. You need differences. You need debate. You need balance. Please vote for me, Brett Roterman, for Borough Assembly.
Paid for by Brett for Assembly, P.O. Box 80741, Fairbanks 99708.
Alaska is new every season. Fall and winter bring new sporting opportunities for grouse, ptarmigan, and other small game hunting. Predator calling and trapping, snowshoeing, and winter camping. Gear up for success at Frontier Outfitters for traps, snares, and calls, guns, and ammunition. You'll stay warm and dry with the right clothing and rest easy with tents, sleeping bags, and camp necessities. Just downstairs, you'll find ATV and snow machine accessories and Sentry hardware. For every season, there's Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
There's a new voice echoing across Alaska's wild landscapes. Alaska Tracks, hosted by wildlife biologist and outdoorsman Randy Zarnke. This series dives deep into the stories of hunters, pilots, trappers, guides, and the land that shapes them. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association and presented by KFAR and brought to you by Rod Sawshop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, and Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 on KFAR.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance of rain. High temperatures reach up to 44. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Rain likely tonight, lows level off around 33. Overcast skies. Chance for rain tomorrow, highs around 41, cloudy. About an inch of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back live. And in the studio today, I'm going to go right into it. We have Senator Shelley Hughes. So thankful that you came to Fairbanks today and are in studio. And come chat with us. So I know you are running for governor also, and very thankful that we have such a good slew of candidates coming up. Shelley, do a little introduction to for yourself to the community. I know we have just a few minutes here.
Yeah, I think, Frank, this is going to be kind of a teaser. We don't have a lot of time, and we look forward to coming back. And one of the things your listeners here in the Fairbanks area need to know is part of my heart resides in Fairbanks because I lived here for a season. I also lived up above the Arctic Circle in Fort Yukon, and you run errands, you come to the grocery store in Fairbanks, so back and forth for a couple of years, and then for a season was here before moving on. And I'll back up just interior Alaska. Yeah, part of my heart's here, also down southeast in Huna, out west in Bethel, lived out there. And on the Kenai Peninsula in Seward, and in Palmer about 35 years ago, raised four awesome children, have 12 incredible grandchildren. I was a stay-at-home mom, Frank, for 20 years, best time of my life. It was worth the investment and the sacrifice because my kids are all great.
That's the most important job there is.
Yeah, so been married a long time. Came to Alaska as a teenager in the 70s. And, you know, Alaska was so good to me. When my children were little, I was under the poverty level, and this was a state, a place of opportunity, and want to make sure that it continues. You know, we've got what I'm calling a brawn and brain drain of young people leaving the state, and we've got to turn that around. And I am here to offer my integrity and my experience, my good relationships with all 59 other legislators, to bring some real change, tangible solutions, not one-liners, Frank, not one-liners, but actual specific solutions that are achievable, attainable, and diversify the economy, get our fiscal house in order all, you know, completely. I was able to be in the working group on that. It's a proposal that needs to go forward, but you know what? It takes a governor who can work with the legislature. And as a legislator, everybody knows the legislature can be a bit squirrely, right?
We wouldn't be squirrely there.
Yeah, so those relationships are very key. And right now, Frank, there's not a legislator who's not welcome in my office, and there's not one I can't walk into. And everything I've accomplished involved working with legislature. And I've got a long list of pretty incredible accomplishments that are for the people of Alaska. It was my bill, the REEDS Act, that was the blueprint for the bill that eventually passed. And I strategized and worked up and across the political spectrum to get that through. I worked with
and an... And that's been doing great.
Yes, you know, yes, we're seeing
really
results.
Seeing results. And it's a shame that it's been, that there was such a fight against that. I mean, how can somebody fight against wanting our children to be able to read? So
yeah.
Thank you for that, all that hard work. And I know you've been very good helping me. You've always been very helpful answering questions. As a freshman legislator last session, you know, you were very helpful for my transition into state house. Please continue. You know, I know you're running for governor. You've got some specific ideas you want to chat about.
Yeah, I think building Alaska up to strengthen our economy is fundamental to our future. We're going to hit a rough patch where it's going to be a bit tight before some projects come online. But I think what we need is a governor who can hit the ground running day one to take advantage of the Trump administration and the excellent rapport we have and the desire to really grow, tap into the wealth that's beneath our feet. And one of those things that is key that we've been talking about, Frank, for decades is affordable energy. I have a plan that will actually achieve that. So the gas line seems to be going forward, but what people know is the gas line going forward is going to help us from increasing the cost of energy, but it's not going to get us competitive with the lower 48. So one of the things we need to pick up off the shelf is the Susitna-Wautana Dam. That would be a tremendous help to the Fairbanks area. And if we do hydro, there's actually 200 sites, for instance, in Southeast Alaska that have hydro potential. So that is going to unlock a really, truly cheap energy competitive with the lower 48. And once you do that, you're going to expand all kinds of industries, whether it technology, data centers, and mining particularly for our rural areas to give them an economic base. We've seen how the oil and gas industries really helped the North Slope borough and the communities there. We're now seeing that some mining in other parts of rural Alaska have really helped those communities, and we've got to expand that. So getting our fiscal house in order has part of that is increasing the tax base, right? But it's also reducing the dependence of Alaskans and communities so much on the state. So that's very key to the future and for our young people. I'm excited. The school choice thing, I've been the champion in the Senate on that piece, and that is a tide that will lift all boats, even those in the public schools. The data shows that their success in the classroom and their outcomes improve with school choice. And I tell you what, Frank, this may sound a little odd, but I believe I would be a better leader to teachers than the president of the NEA. Because why are teachers leaving? We have a 3-year average that a teacher stays in a gig. That's terrible. And why? Because they come home at the end of the day. It's not a fun experience. We need to do certain reforms that are actually going to make it rewarding to be a teacher. We want to make sure the dollars are going to the classroom, that the teachers get the kind of support. And I offered amendment after amendment in support of teachers. And I tell you, as governor, that would be a focus, because our young people are key to having a vibrant state. So we have a good state right now, but it could be a stronger, more vibrant state. And that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, our kids are our future. And absolutely, we really need to help get the funding into the classrooms. Absolutely. But before we go on too much further, I want to give you the opportunity to tell the listeners how they can reach you, how they can find out more information on you. Do you have a website? Anything you want to mention to the listeners?
I do, Frank. Thanks for asking the question, because it's always important to include that in there. My website is alaskansforhughes.com. And I'm not sure currently today, but when I looked at the other candidates' website, mine is the most thorough. I have very specific solutions, and it covers a lot of topics. So there is information there. I love to sit down and meet with people. I'm going to give my cell phone over the air. So grab a pencil and write it down. If you have a question for me, my cell phone number is 907-841-1634. 907-841-1634. I care about the people of Fairbanks. I care about the people's livelihood. You know, when someone goes to vote, Frank, they are going to, because they love the state, but they also know what kind of life they want to live. And so it's really important for me to hear from people, to hear their concerns, because the Constitutional Republic is not a one-way street. It's not me just talking to the people, but it's the people. We're a representative democracy. We're a republic. And it's so important to hear from the people. And a track record of listening and being accessible is an important thing that I've done in my service in the legislature, and I will carry it right into the governor's office.
That's fantastic. You know, being open and honest and having dialogue is a great thing for everybody. And we definitely want more of that. So thank you for getting that information out. And we'll try to get that out again at the end of the program. I know we're getting pretty close, but what would anything else you would like to talk to the people?
Well, I want to invite people tonight because I am hosting a fundraiser for local candidates for school board, assembly, et cetera, right here at the Roundup Steakhouse. And it is a free dinner, Frank. It's a pulled pork. And the owner of the restaurant is providing 20 dinners, and then I'm picking up the tab for the rest of them. So just want to welcome people. It's a chance to come meet your local candidates. That's our grassroots. That's our foundation. That's what matters most. We want good schools. We want good representation here in Fairbanks. And so I want to support those conservative candidates. So I encourage people to come out. Starts at 5 o'clock and goes to 6:30. Come have some great grub and meet the candidates and hear from them. And proud to sponsor that. It's so important, Frank.
Absolutely. And we really appreciate you coming and doing that for our local conservative candidates. I'll definitely be there.
Yeah. I want to mention, too, just when I say my heart's in Fairbanks, it is. I have come up numerous times to door knock for different Republican candidates up here that have been running. Starting the first time I came up was when Pete Kelly was running, and did it for Leslie Hajdukovic and others. So I am I care about Fairbanks. It's an important part of our state. A lot of history here, a lot of great people, and would love to connect with as many as possible. Give me a ring. I'm going to be around today. I could even possibly meet up with you today or at least have a phone conversation. I'll give that cell again, 907-841-1634.
Well, that's terrific. So that's tonight at the Roundup Steakhouse on College Road at 5 o'clock. And we are getting close to the end of the hour. If there's anything that what do the listeners, you know, if they want to know something about you, what is something unique about you? Anything that you can, you know, tell them this last
Yeah, I'll just close with this. You know, often we get disappointed when someone runs, and this can happen anywhere across the country or even here in Alaska, because they'll say one thing and then they get in office and do a different thing. People don't have to worry about that with me, because if you look back at the very first postcard I put together when I ran in the House, I have stuck to those. I have voted that way. My track record is public information, and I stand firm. Do I get things done and work with others? Yes, even across the political spectrum. But I do it without forsaking my conservative values and principles. So that's an important skill set. You want someone that will stick to their word and that can work with others. And I am that person, Frank.
And I know you've been open and honest with me all my time in the House. And I really appreciate your advice that you've given. And so you were at the House. How long were you in the House before you were in the Senate?
I was in the House 4 years, and I was in the Senate 8+. But I'll say a pretty heavy-duty resume also in the private sector prior to that. So, yeah, I'm ready right out of the gate.
Well, thank you very much for coming in on such short notice, Shelley Hughes, And that's AlaskansForHughes.com for her website. And she's also given out her telephone number. So thank you very much. We're at the bottom of the hour. Fairbanks, have a great day. Enjoy it. Get out there and go for a hike or whatever you could do. It's beautiful weather out there.
Thank you, Frank.
KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K2.